Just going to God's word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation we have received. We thank you, Lord, for the redemption, that is the forgiveness of sins we have. Lord, we decree and declare this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity in precision. And at the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. If you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to Mark 16, verse 15. If you were in Matthew already, sorry. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, that is Jesus, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yeah? He says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere as he had instructed, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. Yeah? Yeah? Now, what did he ask them to go and preach in verse 15? Go ye into the world and preach what? The gospel. Yeah? Go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, did he say go into the world and preach healing? Yeah? So maybe at the end of this seminar you might say yes, but for now. Did he say go into the world and preach healing? Okay, for now. No. Yeah? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died, resurrected for sins. He was buried. Christ died. He was buried. He resurrected. And now he lives in the believer. And by extension, we have an instruction to preach the gospel. Now, you see something very important. It says, we shall lay hands. So, let's read verse 18 and let's personalize it as we. Are we good? So, instead of they, we say we. Are we together? Yeah. Verse 18, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read that part again. We shall lay hands on the sick. Let's go together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let everyone say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now personalize it. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew's Gospel 28. He's finally went there. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. See what it says there. And Jesus came and spake. So that is similar to what we read in Mark 16. Yeah? This is Matthew's rendition. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore in that power, in that authority. Yeah? All power is given unto me. All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore in that authority and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the entire Bible, that is the only verse of scriptures where you have in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? What Matthew was really speaking about is the name of the Son. Now, when he says teach all nations, baptizing them, he now tells you what baptizing them in the context should mean. He tells you in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What did Mark say? Going into the world and preach the gospel, he that believed and is baptized is saved, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right? Yeah? So who's going to lay hands on the sick in this weekend? Beautiful. Yeah, that's the answer. I will. Yeah? Yeah? Who's going to lay out on the sick this weekend?
I will.
Will they recover?
Yes.
Say, they shall recover.
They shall recover.
The sick shall recover.
The sick shall recover.
It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word they teach is the word machiteo. Is the word machiteo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Machiteo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. That's the word there that means to teach. You see? And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word dematitio means to make students or to make disciples. 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 Yeah, so he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, that is, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. You see that word in verse 20? What's the first word in verse 20? Teaching, right? Verse 20, teaching. Yeah, the word teaching is the word didasko. Yeah, the word teaching is the word didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko. You know, similar, you know, whether you hear the word didaskalia, a teacher and all of that. Yeah, didasko, yeah. It means using or paying deliberate attention or, in fact, teaching from a particular content, more or less. So, he says, teaching them with a template, more or less, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it means that the instruction and the charge that Jesus gave is the template we have to fulfill the scriptures that says, teach all nations. I'll say that again. The template that we have is what Jesus already laid. Yeah, that is what we'll use to fulfill the command that says, teach all nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go to Luke 24. Luke's Gospel 24:24. Luke's Gospel 24:24. Are we there? Luke's Gospel 24:24. Can we read together? Let's wait. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go to the table together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read verse 27 again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, what did Jesus do? Beginning at Moses. Is that a template? So, when Jesus met them, he saw them in a state of unbelief. Right? What did he use to quench their unbelief? Beginning at Moses. So, look at it again. He says, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Now, why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe what the prophet said. Now, what did the prophet say in summary from what Jesus is teaching in that verse? He's saying what? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. Now, I'm beginning at Moses. So, where is Moses? Where is he beginning? Jesus began to teach from the beginning. Is that true? So can we say beginning from the beginning? Does that make sense? Beginning at the beginning. What did he do? He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Yeah? From where? Scriptures. In all the scriptures. So, Jesus began to teach from the beginning. That is a template for us. Remember we said something in Matthew 28:20. We said what teaching means to pay attention to a particular template already laid down. Yeah, so it means that there's a particular template or particular content we are to follow. Now, Luke now tells us that this particular thing actually has to do with what? Beginning at Moses and the prophet. So we see that for everything that Jesus taught, or when Jesus tried to prove his resurrection, he started proving it from where? The beginning. So it means that as good Bible students that you and I should be, we won't explain anything from scriptures. Where do we go to? The beginning. So it means that we need to explain what healing from the beginning is, faith from the beginning is, to see what it is, to see what it will be and what it should be. Is that true? Yeah. What did Jesus do? Since beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them, beginning at Moses and the prophets. Now, let's see some examples of Jesus taking them back to the beginning. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew's Gospel 19, verse 3. Look at Matthew's Gospel 19 verse 3. Then the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Look at Jesus' reply in verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not what? Have ye not what? Have ye not read that he which made them at where? Now, they asked him a question. What did he do? He took them back to the beginning. Have you not read? Now, let me ask you a question. At that time, had they read the beginning?
Yes.
Had they read the beginning?
Yes.
So it means that the read that Jesus spoke about is not plain reading. Is that true? Because at that time, they had read the beginning. So look at it again. It says, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning? So where were they to know about he who made them? At the beginning. That is at the beginning. That's the writings of Moses. Yeah, he made them male and female. Right? Look at verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be. Did you get that? What you've read? Did you get that? Yeah, he now says, and verse 7. Let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Excuse me, people of God. What did they say? Who are they quoting?
Moses.
That means they read Moses. What did Jesus tell them? Have you not read Moses? Did they read Moses? There is no way they could have known what Moses said without reading Moses. Moses was not alive in their time. So, trick question. Now, look at what Matthew says in verse 3. He says what? They came to tempt him. Is that not really temptation? You know, you would have thought that temptation is only about when doing silhouette challenge. You're laughing? Yeah? You would have thought temptation is only about wearing miniskirts. Yeah? But they came to tempt in reference to knowledge. And what did he say? Have you not read? Let me ask another question. The people that read, in the people Jesus spoke to in Luke 24, had they read the scriptures? See, in fact, it was a law that they usually read back to back of what you call the scriptures. They were acquainted with what the scriptures said. So that's why it wasn't difficult for them to just go to Moses. Look at Moses, or Jesus rather. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce and put her away? Look at Jesus' answer in verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to, what's the word they suffered? Allowed, yeah. So Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not. Look at this. Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you to put away your wife. So it means that in the real sense, it wasn't really the law that made them put away their wives. It was something they were doing that Moses made the law. Didn't get that. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered, allowed it. So it was something they were already right. Now put asunder, right? When life started coming and unfolding, what did they start doing? They started thinking of ways to what? Separate themselves. What did Jesus do? He took them back to the beginning. Are we together? Why did Moses do that to them? Because of the hardness of the heart. So the Pharisees made to look permanent what was supposed to be temporary. Did you get that? The Pharisees made to look permanent what ideally should have been temporary. Hallelujah. So it means that as saints, we have to be deliberate in Bible study. When we are doing Bible study, where do we begin from? The beginning. Just like materialism. You see, the idea of materialism is a proper explanation to show that context or scripture or context of scriptures determine the text that is being considered. Because if you look at what materialism really entails, it means just picking a few scriptures and making them a personal confession. Are we together? So we must be people who are not to lead scripture out of. So it means that every doctrine you would explain or stand for, it should be explained properly at the beginning. Are we together? Every doctrine we teach as a church, it should be well explained from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit, for instance, is not a concept that can only be explained from Matthew. Yet the gifts of healing is not a context that can only be explained from Acts and the word about doing good. Because what did Jesus do in situations like that, he took them back to the beginning. When he resurrected, how did Jesus prove his resurrection? He took them back to the beginning. Are we together? So it means that as saints, we are to pay attention to the beginning. Remember, for instance, we saw an example, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first kingdom of God and, you know, ask ye shall be given unto you, right? Seek, you shall find. Yeah, and we realize that when you pick that text out of context, you think that the scripture is saying, ask anything, seek anything, knock anything. Yeah, but we saw that what is that which God gives in that context? The Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. So we see that reading in context is very important. Very, very important. See, look at Ephesians 4:28 quickly. Let everybody get there. 1, 2, 3, go. Let he that stole no more, let he that stole steal no more. Yeah? But rather let him labor, working with his hand, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, if you look at some people, I've heard people say things like, we don't work for a living, work for a giving. Eh? Look at it now. He says, let him work that he may have to give. You work for a giving now. Yeah? So, who was the context speaking about? It's not hard to know, to say. The person that used to what? And what is the name of the person? A thief. So he's talking to a thief. Let him that stole. So what is this, what is Paul teaching about? Concept of giving or by extension sacrificial giving. But what is the real content of what he's thinking about? Decency, honesty, being straightforward. Are we together? Yeah. What some people will do is they'll forget that line that says, let him that stole steal no more. The only part they will mention is, let you labor, working with your hands, that you may have to give. Yeah. So if you want to ask scriptures to explain that, we have done a series on generosity to explain that. So Paul wasn't teaching prosperity in Ephesians 4:28. He was teaching what? Decency. Is that true? Sincerity. Is that true? Integrity. Is that true? And by extension, generosity. Is that not true? By extension, but in the context, he told you, let him see. If he didn't want to address the thief, he would have just gone straight to go and work, labor so that he can have to give. But he told, let them that steal no more. Hallelujah. So it means that when we are dealing with scriptures or dealing with any topic at all, for instance, faith and healing, we have to have, there's a systematic approach to viewing it. There's a pattern that God has ordained for us to understand certain things. Yeah, Jesus, by an example, gave us a template. What did he do? Beginning at Moses. Look at 1 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20, quickly. 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1:20. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. So no prophecy of the scripture is of any private what? What does that mean? It means that scriptures are to be read holistically. What does holistically mean? As a whole. We are to read scriptures as a whole. That is why Jesus gave us a template. Yeah, he didn't remember at the time when Jesus was giving a template, there was no Matthew, no Mark, no Luke, no John, no Paul, no Ephesians, no Galatians. But what did he do? Beginning at Moses and the prophets. If you had gone to Luke 24:44, which we've done severally, you'll see that, you know, the things that's spoken about him, he was really teaching from what? Prophets, the Psalms, and Moses. Is that true? So it means that in Jesus's or in laying examples or laying a template for us to follow, Jesus went back to Moses. Look at John 1:45. John 1:45. Let's read together. John 1:45. 1, 2, 3, go. Philip pointed Nathanael and said to him, so it means that Philip finds Nathanael That finding alone gives us an example or tells us or gives or points our attention to who the scriptures speak about. Is that true? Now let me make this clear. You know, not everything in the Bible or in scriptures point to Christ though. Is that true? Not everything in the Bible. So it will be very interesting, which I know a lot of people who want to bring out Christ from every situation. Yeah? So the point that you start hearing very interesting things. You know, the stones that Jesus and David picked to kill Goliath represents Jesus. Jesus is J-E-S-U-S. How many stones did David pick? Five. What is five? Number of grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah? Give me a J. J. Give me an excellent E. E. A supersonic. Supersonic S. Universal U. I won't need more than ASM. Yeah. But Jesus is an English word that has been translated and just got to our language in its their time. The original word for Jesus is not five letters. Are we together? Yeah, David picked five stones. Oh, glory to God. You're going to pick five stones. Have you seen people who bring five stones to the church? How many stones did David use to kill Goliath? So all you need to be victorious in your life is J. That's it now. All you need to make it in life is J. When you finish praying, in the name of J. You don't need Jesus. In the name of J. Oh, give us a J. You don't need Jesus. Yeah, so we must try to stick within the confines of proper interpretation in scriptures. Yeah, we must not try to be people who bring out Jesus from everything. Yeah, let's not go into all of that today. Yeah, but now, remember, look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua, quickly. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, quickly. So what it says there? Joshua 1:8. A lot of us will be able to quote that. Not everybody started in Sunday school. Let's read it. Let's not quote it. Before we start hearing and was crucified. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Yeah? He says what? 1, 2, 3, go. Let me ask you a question. At the time of Joshua, what was the book of the law? Genesis to Malachi. What was the book of the law? Is that going to go and heal people tomorrow? So, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate what? Let's assume it's let's assume it's that. They were to read Genesis to Malachi, Genesis to Deuteronomy, day and night. Hello? Day and night. Do you know what it is to come and read Genesis to Deuteronomy, day and night? You know, nowadays a lot of us can escape Bible study. You do Bible study first year, every year you are finishing Ephesians. It's a good thing, don't mind me. Yeah? But it's only Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Once you go to 2 Samuel, you see, son, as the son of Egar, the son of. You just jump out the son. Most of us here have never read Matthew chapter 1. What's the genealogy of Jesus? Most of us have never read it. What's the first king? Asa the king of Asher. Asher the king of Ahab. Ahab the king of Asa. Asa the king of Ahab. You just joined. So all of you that are doing finishing the Bible in 1 year, it's very easy to finish the Bible. Because by the time you drop all the names and their history, you have got it to Malachi. When you start Matthew again, you jump to Matthew 2. Are we together? Yeah, but look at that. They were. Is that rain that wants to fall?
Yes.
Rain. Oh. That's a proof that God is answering our prayer. See, I didn't call this meeting on my own. Wait, so are you saying I called it on my own? So, Jesus taught for 40 days using what? 39 books. Moses asked them to consistently meditate on God's word every day and how many books? Maximum 5 books. Jesus for 40 days back to back, maximum 39 books, max 39 books. Today now there are many books we have 66. But yet you want to come and do quickly and go. No, pastor, you know, so pastor, see, you know, see, this thing, so this generation, we have to move with the wind. Yes. You see, there's a generation of these generations, Generation Z. You know, we need to catch them with media. Yeah, just so that, yeah, pastor, you know, you see, that's all the world. Let's just come and just worship God. Worship is our key, is our weapon. Let's just, pastor, you know, when you worship God, you move Him. Glory to God. When you praise Him, you raise Him. So let's go with church. Pastor, you say, oh, this is, when you now ask them, how many minutes should we do for the world? Pastor, just give us a word for the week. That's SMS. And just give us a word for the week. Yeah, just give us a word that will just minister to my soul and minister to my... In the end, look at Jesus taught for 40 days using 39 books. It means that predominantly in what Jesus was teaching for 49 days or for 40 days were content of the Bible. Are we together? In our day and time, what do we want to do? In 45 minutes or in 30 minutes, we want to do a teaching and we only want to quote one scripture once. See, Bible study is not about picking Bible and this is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. Hug your Bible. Pat your Bible. Pat your Bible. Pat your Bible. There was a man all from Chicago, and you just started the story. And you finish the story from another story, and they will laugh. It's not to quote scripture at all, Psalm. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is your shepherd. Say, the Lord is your shepherd. And as you go, the Lord is your shepherd. Yeah. And that is all you've done for church. Like I always say, when you see people like those services, enjoying them, they don't really know the things that God expects to do. God expects their hand to rot amongst mankind. They've not come to understand that inside of them is the power of God, and there's so much that God wants to express through them. Out together. So Jesus taught for 40 days. Moses said, this book of the law shall not depart from out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. Some people now, notice. You notice that sometimes some people's alarm used to ring at one time in church service. They are talking to me. You don't understand me, I understand. Why is your alarm ringing on an 11 o'clock on a Sunday? Where should you have been? prayer, and your church service is not evening, no. From alarms, you just, you know, see, we should, before we can do the things we are going to do this week, it means that we have paid attention to the things that God wants us to pay attention to. Think about it. Do you think it's easy to get a church where, for instance, on Sunday we just come for 45 minutes, we are dancing. We now call Brad Tim's come and pray for 5 minutes. And in fact, even pray, we'll go to Nehemiah, you know, just say Nehemiah 9:15, you know, and just pray for 5 minutes, and Brad Tim will just go, and before we invite our high praisers, they come again, they dance, everybody move shirt, tear shirt, everybody sweating. Before you know it, you spend 1 hour, 30 minutes. Before you know it, you're already saying, pastor, let's go. Before you know it. So how do you expect to know the things that God has put in you? How do you expect to pay attention to what God would have you do to the world that you are in? So Joshua says, the book of the law shall not depart. Jesus taught from Genesis, beginning at Moses, and the prophets. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's not just about all I have is in Him. All I have is in me. All I have is in me. All I am is in Him. All I am. Glory, 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 glory. It's not just about glory, glory, glory. Yeah, it's not just about glory, glory, oh glory, 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 glory. There's a lot to pay attention to proper Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. So we are to be students of the world. We are to have extensive meetings. We are to have extensive seminars. Jesus had it. So what we are doing, faith and healing seminar, Bible seminar, seminars. Seminar. Yes, that we're even feeling ourselves for 3 days. Jesus did it for 40 days. And they met every day. Are we together? So, beginning at Moses and the prophets. Now, let me now make this clear. You know that there is nowhere in the Bible where Genesis to Malachi is called the Old Testament. At most, what do they refer to Genesis and Malachi? Genesis and Malachi? Scriptures. So, Genesis and Malachi really is actually the Word of God. It's a far way. So, we just use Old Testament books just for communication purposes. But in the real sense, Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God. Let me tell you this. It means that you can teach justification by faith only from Genesis to Malachi. Don't be surprised. That was all Paul taught from. Before Paul could write Ephesians, all he had as his Bible was Genesis to Malachi. So it means that you can teach redemption, righteousness, justification by faith from only Genesis to Malachi. You see, there's work to be done. You know, today we are very privileged. If you go on the street and somebody just says, salvation is not eternal, it's not eternal, it's not eternal, it's not eternal. What do you say? Go to John 3:16. Go to Ephesians 1. Mama Bola. It's easy. The seal. It's easy. Imagine Paul having to convince people that salvation is eternal from Genesis to Malachi alone. Imagine Paul having to teach about tongues and interpretation from Genesis to Malachi alone. Think about it. We still have Ephesians now. We have Colossians. People are still looking at us and saying, "You are teaching heresy, heresy." Imagine all we had was Genesis to Malachi. So Genesis to Malachi is actually the Word of God. So Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God to us. So a more doctrinal, theological way to approach Genesis to Malachi is God's Word to us. Now, let me show you something in Luke 24. Some of you are asking, Pastor, we are dealing with healing. We are talking about healing. I've never said healing today. Look at Luke 24, 27. Luke 24:27. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, there's a word in that verse I want us to pay attention to, and it's the word "expounded." The word "expounded" is the Greek word that is diermeneuo, diermeneuo. I spell it again. Yeah, diermeneuo, diermeneuo, diermeneuo. E-U-O. Now, that is a word that deals with a lot of interpretation and translation. Now, pay attention, please. If you've been sleeping, keep sleeping. Your laugh is not pleasant. Yeah? Look at it. The word DMNU is a word that... Now, the word is a word got it from two basic words or two base words. Die and Emmanuel, Diemmanuel, D-I, and another word, Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel deals with interpretation, translation. The word die is a word that means two. Are we together? Die is two. Yeah? Emmanuel means or deals with translation, interpretation. So when you say die, Emmanuel, is a word that deals with translation, interpretation, basically that has to do with two different languages. Yeah, diermeneuo is a word that deals with two or translating or narrating a word from a language into another language. Are we together? So what did Jesus do? Jesus did a lot of translation, a lot of interpretation, and a lot of what? Explanation. Remember on Sunday, I said something that was going to help us. I said what? There's a difference between translation and interpretation. Is that true? Yeah. Translation is word for word. Interpretation is what? Having to explain in a different language. So that word DMNU is a word that deals with more of what? Interpretation and translation. Yeah. Having to explain something and considering that a language or another language is going to be employed. Please follow attentively. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at John 5, for instance. So, Jesus began to expound. Jesus expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So, Jesus did a lot of interpretation and translation. Never forget that. Look at John 5, 39. John 5, 39. He says, "You search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which point to me, which testify of me." Are we together? Look at what he now says in verse 40. So let me ask you a question. If he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life," what will script... Okay, go to verse 46 quickly. Verse 46, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. If you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for I wrote of me. What is he speaking about when he says if you have believed Moses? His writings. So when he says you search the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. What is he speaking about? Scriptures from Genesis to Malachi or Moses' writing? Look at it again in context. He says what? Ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that ye may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am calling my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, that is Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for I wrote about me. For if you have believed not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? When he says, you search the scriptures, is it Genesis, Malachi, or Moses' writing? Jesus points our attention in verse 44 and verse 45 to a person. Who is the person?
Moses.
So who do you think our attention should have been pointing at from verse 39? Okay, this series will explain that to us, right? So keep that. For instance, hold your thought. You see, there's some things that if we just gloss over, we might not really see the importance of what is being said. Like, for instance, I said something on Sunday, yeah, and I did not explain it. Look at John 3:16. Look at John 3:16 quickly. Okay, everyone look at me. John 3:16, let's go together. 1, 2, 3, go. Shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you check the Greek manuscript for the word for the words used there, everlasting life, there are two different Greek words. Are we together? One is the one aionios, something like that, and the second one is the word zoe. Right? Okay, go to Matthew 19, 16. Matthew's Gospel 19:16. Let's read together. Matthew 19:16. Does anybody have a Greek lexicon in your Bible? If you have a Greek lexicon, open your Bible. Let me show you something. Matthew 19. Why I just really mean the lexicon, the Bible that has the translations of those words. You look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse what? 16, right? Can you see that the last two words have two different words? If your own is up to date, that is not, if you're not using Pentium 1, you will see that eternal is G166. And you see that life is G2222. So can you tap life? What is life?
Zoe,
right? Can you tap eternal? Aionios, right? A-I-O-N-I-O-S, right? Remember I was saying it on Sunday, that song where you sing, this life that I have is the life of God in me, Zoe, Zoe. Yeah, the life you have in you is not Zoe. Zoe is a Greek word that means what? Life. Are we together? What qualifies life to be the life of God is when you put eternal or everlasting in front. Did you get that? Yeah? So, we see the word aionios. So, eternal life. Life is life. Yeah? Life is life. Life is the Greek word zoe. What qualifies life? Oh, glory, I have zoe in me. Those spiritual. See, it's, you know, because it's a Greek word, it seems spiritual. Oh, zoe. Oh, zoe lives in me. Oh, glory, zoe lives in me. Hallelujah. Yeah? You're just saying life. And that word life can be used to qualify a plant. Right? Can be used to qualify an animal. So, if you can say Zoe, and I'll put in context for you. If you say Zoe, I'll be happy to put the context. Animal. Are we together? Yeah, so something as basic as that. So, if you read John 3:16, he whoever believes in me shall not perish but have Zoe. It is shall not perish but have aionios Zoe. Did you get that? Shall not perish but have. Look at verse 26 of that same verse. Matthew 19, verse 26. Verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren, sisters, fathers, wives, children, lands for my sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit Zoe. No, it's not shall inherit Zoe. He shall inherit Aineos Zoe. The Aineos before the Zoe qualifies what you will inherit, not just life. What you, look at it. What you have in you right now is life. What a man that is on the street has in him is life. You can call that which he has Zoe. Do you understand? So even an unbeliever has Zoe. You do get that. You say, ouch, that was painful, man. That's very painful, I choke. Yeah? So when you're saying, this life that I have is a life of God in me, Zoe, Zoe, Zoe. Yeah, an unbeliever can stand with you and say, this life that we have. Because all he simply said was that you have life. It's just life. I'm not looking for trouble, don't mind me. Are we together? Yeah, so it means that we should pay attention to very, 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 they look insignificant. They look in, I love that song. See, we all do. So, what is Aineos before this away? It is a life that refers to an age to come. Life of an age to come. That which has no beginning and end. How together? That's the life we have, not just the way. Altogether, the life we have is the life of God. It is everlasting life. That is forgiveness of sin. That is the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So you can go on the street tomorrow and look at somebody that cannot be right. Say, do you know you have Zoe? You say, yes. It's not wrong. Hallelujah. So it means that we need to, all I've been saying from beginning is to show how we need to pay attention to the use of words. How we need to pay attention to the context of words. Right? See, what I said today in Afghanistan for instance, about Zoe, I didn't go out of the blues. I just showed us in scriptures. Are we together? So it means that when we are dealing with things, we need to go back to the beginning, like Jesus gave an example, and have a contextual. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this, that no portion of the scriptures is of what? Any private interpretation. So it means that when you go to Psalm 23, for instance, Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now hold on. When Joshua wrote this book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth. What did they have as scriptures? Genesis to Deuteronomy. When Isaiah was a prophet, what was the scriptures? Genesis to Deuteronomy. So let me ask you a question. When Moses was with the children of Israel and everything, and the children of Israel, blah, blah, before their advent, their journey and everything, what do you think their scriptures would be? Genesis. Because Exodus is speaking about their movements. Yes. It means that the children of Israel had Genesis. Joshua, Ezra, Nehemiah, David had Genesis to Deuteronomy. Jesus had Genesis to Malachi. Peter had Genesis to Malachi. Right? What do we have? Genesis to Revelation. All together. So let me show you an example in Psalm 23. Look at Psalm 23 quickly. Psalm 23. I mean, we all know it, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, let me ask you a question. When you see green pastures, what comes to your mind? Fruition of what? Of wealth. This man is not born again. But he's not lying. Green pastures to a lot of us is Canada. But you just said what he said. He said abroad. Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose that David will say, he leads me, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, he makes his lie down in green pastures. Why do you think he's using pasture? Because the mode of communication they were used to was mostly agriculture. So when God told Abraham, the land I promised you. Now, is the word land used as a physical place or a figurative place? So will green pasture be a literal place or a figurative place? So can we say that the green pasture is equal to the land of Abraham? Can we say something? Now see how David ended Psalm 23. Surely,
all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Is that figurative or literal? I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Is that figurative or literal? Did David die? Did David die? Is David dead?
Yes.
Did they bury him in a temple?
Yes.
So when he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, what you see forever, it has to do with the work of the Lord in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So surely, so what follows you? Goodness and mercy. Goodness and, let me show you an example. Let me show you something in scripture. Look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33, 18. Exodus 33, verse 18. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go.
And he said, show me thy glory.
Yeah? Was that what Moses said? Moses said, show me thy glory. Look at the answer in verse 19. Let's read 1, 2, 3, go.
I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I am gracious to whom I am gracious. I will show thyself to my goodness.
What did Moses ask for? Glory. What was God's response? Goodness, graciousness, mercy. What did David say? Goodness and mercy shall follow. How did David know goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of his life? He had read Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that? So what did Moses say in verse 19? He says what? I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious. So there's grace, there is mercy, there is goodness. Look at what he now says in verse 20. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Hello, dear saints. Hello, dear saints. Are we here? Look at it again. Thou cannot see. No man shall see my face and live. What did he tell us in verse 19? I will make my goodness pass before thee, right? I will be gracious to whom? And I will show mercy. So it means that what God has to give is goodness, grace, and mercy. So how will what God have to give be goodness, grace, and mercy? And anybody that sees God will die. Hello? Remember, we grew up understanding that. Moses said, oh, God said, anybody, anytime I see my face. Look at it. It's in your Bible. Look at it. Verse 20. Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Does anything in verse 18 and 19 suggest that God has anything about death? What does he have? Goodness, being gracious, grace, and mercy. So why should a God who has mercy, you now see him, you now die? So actually, a contextual reach that will be, what? Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see my face and not live. Are we together? Why will you live? Because all he has to give when you see is goodness, grace, and mercy. Look at it again. Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see. So what he has to offer is goodness, grace, mercy. Have we sorted that? What in goodness, grace, and mercy suggests killing or death? Are we together? So, in fact, how do we know that when you live, when you look at him, you will live? John 3, for instance, is an example. As Moses lifted up his serpent in the wilderness, so the man, Son of God lifted up. That whosoever shall what? Look on him. Shall what? Why the Hebrews tell you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus is God. So looking unto God, the author and finisher of our faith, when you not look, you will die. So do you understand? How do we understand Exodus chapter 33? By reading the scriptures holistically. Are we together? So the books of the Bible are to be read together. Now let's pay attention to something. Note this. The writers of the scriptures were not writing to you and I. Please note this. It will come in handy in our long teaching tomorrow. Writers of the scriptures were not writing to you and I. The writers of the scriptures were not writing with us in their minds. So in Bible interpretation, we need to find out who the writer is, who the audience is. They wrote to the audience in a language understood by the audience. Are we together? They wrote to their audience in the language understood by their audience. There are some things you will say about internet today that will not make sense to your great-grandfather 50 years ago. So it means that anybody that wrote a book of the Bible 50 years ago, for instance, will communicate to your grandfather in his what language that he understands. Now, when I mean language, it's not just speaking about words used, but the content and context of words used. Please, let me know. Are we together? Now, who was Moses? Moses was a man born from the lineage of the Levites. Let me ask you a very interesting question. Where did Hebrew as a language and community start? With Adam or with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Remember, Israel is what? What you call the Jew? Did Hebrew start with Adam? Or did Hebrew start with Abraham, the generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Let me now tell you something. So it means that Adam's name was not Adam. But Adam is an Hebrew translation for the name Adam was called. Interesting, right? Moses in Exodus was born, and he had to communicate the writings of things that happened in a language understood by the people he was immediately around, who you call the children of Israel. But before their great father, great grandfather Abraham, there was a man called Noah. There were men called Ham, Shem, Japheth. Yeah? They did not start with Hebrew before Israel came. Israel came and became the offshoot of Jewish lineage, what you call Hebrew. So it means that Moses also did a D. Emmanuel when he was writing his epistles. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
What did I just say? I simply said what I said in the beginning. De Emmanuel deals with what translation and interpretation, usually from a language to another. Don't lose track. You go, I know in your mind, I say, Pastor, where is healing? Pastor, you're supposed to just come and do everybody fall. If you talk about what I'm coming today, it has to be from knowledge first. Are we together? So it means that when reading scriptures, you have to understand the audience, the writer, and the things that they write. So it means that now, Moses was one of the most brilliant men in his time. Are we together?
Amen.
Yes? For someone to be able to hear a story that was told and use it to write another story, that's brilliance. Are we together? So it means that Moses would have used lots of figurative expressions. In fact, history shows that Moses went to one of the best schools at the time in Egypt. Amen? So Moses was a very brilliant writer. So it means that when we are paying attention to Bible study, yeah, so Moses was born, he spoke Hebrew. Yeah, his writings will most likely what? Use, he will most likely have the use of Hebrew words to explain Genesis. Let me make it clearer. The Jewish lineage, which is what you call Hebrew language, for instance, right? Started after what? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Right? So it means that Noah was not an Hebrew man. It means that Noah wasn't Jewish. It means that Adam wasn't Jewish. Because the Jewish lineage started from after Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Altogether. So, Adam and Noah, for instance, when you look at their Hebrew words, their Hebrew translations, but in that time, that was not the name. So, look at it. If you pick your Hebrew Bible right now and see the name Adam is called, that wasn't the name Adam was called. Did you get that?
Yes,
if you pick your Bible now and see the word Noah in the Greek, I'll say it again. So, Adam and Noah were people who were not Hebrew. They were not Hebrew people. But those names that we now call them, for instance, you can trace it to be Hebrew names. So, did Cain speak Hebrew? Hebrew became a language over the years. So, Adam as a name will be a translation. Same with Abel and Cain. Now, that's why you see something. When Moses uses the word Adam in what you call your English Bible, in Genesis, he both speaks about a man called Adam and a mankind. Look at Genesis 5:1 quickly. So to mean that Moses will use the word Adam both for literal and figurative. Look at Hebrews and Genesis 5:1 rather. Verse 2. Genesis 5 verse 2. Genesis 5 verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together.
Yeah.
Can you see? Male and female called Adam. Hello. Hello. So Moses used Adam first as literal and what? As figurative. Follow attentively. Follow attentively. Follow attentively. So why do you think the Jewish guys call Abraham their father? Really, that is where the generation of what you call the Jewish king started from. In their minds. Are we together? Go back to Luke 24, 27. Let's round up for today. And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded. What's the word expounded? Demeneu. Let me give you a definite explanation to that word in the Greek. It means to unfold the meaning of what is said by translating it into one's native language. I'll say it again. To unfold the meaning of what is said by translating it into one's native language. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is not Greek. Right? That is not Hebrew. Right? That's Aramaic. But I thought you said Jesus was teaching from Genesis to Malachi, which was already written in Hebrew. And what you are now speaking about, what Jesus said, is now written in Greek. Are we here? Look at it. In our ideal heads, what do we say? Old Testament written in Hebrew. New Testament written in Greek. In the midst of Hebrew and Greek, we see Jesus say something like Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So it means that Jesus also spoke Aramaic. So Jesus had a well-covered, or he was well-rounded in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So when you see DMNU, it means translating, to unfold the meaning of that which is said into one's native language. Is that what I said? Into one's what? Native, into one's, translating into one's native language. Look at Acts 9:36. Acts 9:36. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's everybody get there. Acts 9:36. So Tabitha is a word that means Dorcas in another language. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Some people can be interested. They say, I want to name my first daughter Tabitha and Dorcas. It's the same thing. Remember that explanation I told you? Paul's name was never changed from Saul. Saul is just a name in a different language, and Paul is a name in a different language. So after Saul met with Jesus, his name was changed to Paul. No, it's just interpretation. So Tabitha was one found in Joppa, which by interpretation is what? Dorcas. Look at Nehemiah 8:5 quickly. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. I say, Pastor, how come we're opening the scriptures in this Bible seminar? That's why it's called Bible seminar. Look at Nehemiah 8:5 quickly. Let me just read it. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Allahu Akbar. Also, Jeshua and Bani, and you see that scriptures we always run away from. Ideally, most of us should have jumped to verse 8. Yeah, look at it. So, and Joshua, and let's jump here, back. Verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctively and gave sense and gave the sense. What is they gave the sense? They caused them to understand the reading. Is that what you call the Greek word diemanio? Is that the Greek word diemanio? Beautiful. Yeah. So look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is a Tishbat, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, yeah, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is only unto the Lord our God, mourn not, will not weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat fat, drink sweet and everything, for this day is holy unto God. Let that be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah, so the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Let that be grieved. And all the people wept, went their way to eat and to drink and eat portions. Verse 13, and the second day were gathered people together, the chief of the father of the people, and the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe. Who is the scribe? One who is responsible for what? Writing. Are we together? What did the scribe Ezra do in verse 8? He caused them to understand the reading. That was the same thing Jesus did. When he said he opened their understanding, what did he say? He expounded unto them. What did Jesus do? Jesus caused them to have an understanding of what was read. Are we together? So Jewish were Hebrews, yeah? But not only Jewish are Hebrews. What did I just say? Think about what I just said though. Philosophy and logic, man. Yeah? So it's like saying the people from England are English, they're British, but not only British speak English. Is that can you see? You see, what did I do? I demanded it. Glory. Yeah, I brought it so that you can understand. That's what Jesus was doing. What I said later was not different from what I said at first. What did I do? I communicated to you in a language you understand. I said, I just say British because everybody wants to fly there. Everybody wants to travel there. Everybody wants to run to Brit England. What I just said, British English. Word. So that was what Ezra did. That was what Jesus did. Are we together? So God's word is in human language. Yeah, God's word is in. So it means that as Bible study or Bible teachers, we must be interpreters and translators. Are we together? Because we are trying to analyze the contextual use of the writer and the contextual understanding the audience might have had. So knowing the meaning of a word doesn't just mean you know what is written or what is saying. Yeah, for instance, like I always say, yeah, tomorrow is Saturday and I want to go and fix my car. On Monday, I'll go and fix my money in the bank. I use the same word fix, but two different meanings. Yeah, the first fix my car is to repair my car. The second fix my money, I cannot repair my money. Yeah, it is to deposit. So the context explains or makes us understand. So it means that when we are dealing with healing, we must go back to what? Beginning at what? Moses. And we must understand the use of healing by Moses. We must understand the audience of Moses. And we must understand the DMNO that Jesus would have done reading Moses. Are we together? Let me say it again. So in Bible study, we must know the language of the writer, the understanding of the audience. Yeah, what was the text meant to teach, to confirm, or to address? Yeah, what was the text of the scripture used to teach or to address or to correct or to affirm? We must find out what the writer was really saying, who he was speaking to. Let me show you an example before we leave today. Let me show you an example of what. Look at Exodus. Let's end in Exodus this evening. We have five minutes to go. Look at Exodus 14, 13. Exodus 14, 13. So what it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, what do we stand still for our day and time today? Trouble. Traffic. Okay. Traffic warden. Yeah? What do you stand? Oh, stand still, you see my God. Who was Moses addressing? Look at the context. Look at what it says. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. So it means that he was speaking to people who had fear in them. So when he says stand still, it is for people with anxiety. Yeah? By extension, is anxiety, does it have to do with unbelief? Does it? So look at the verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not and stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. yeah, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more. What is Moses correcting? He's not saying when you lose your job, he says stand still. Mm-mm. What is he correcting? He was correcting people who were not putting their faith in God. Remember in our previous teaching, we had said something. People who are stiff-necked. What is people who are stiff-necked? Not your neck is stiff. People who are what? Stubborn. People who have their hearts enveloped with what? So much anxiety, fear, unbelief. Are we together? Now, this is what we're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to start just in time. And we're going to explain, with this explanation I've given, for instance, we'll consider the word healing from the beginning of time, the first time it was used, and see the context it was used, and see what healing was for. Then we'll explain Isaiah chapter 53, yeah? By stripes we are healed. Yeah? Like I've explained over and over, that wasn't speaking about, yeah, who bore our sicknesses and our... So, sicknesses was a parable used for sin. Remember, green pasture was first used to Moses as what? Land. David used it as what? Green pasture. What did the writers of the Holy Epistles tell us? Find out tomorrow. Heavenly Jerusalem, city of living God, numerical company of angels, city of living God, the land of living God. So Moses used land to communicate the work of the Spirit on the earth. Are we here? So tomorrow we're going to look at healing and look at interpretation, translation, and explanation. Then we'll see what healing was used for. And we'll see why God still heals today. Are we ready for tomorrow? See you all tomorrow by 12. Have a lovely evening. Yeah.